Hear these comforting words that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible readings today, the first reading is from Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, the first 8 verses. Romans 5, the first 8 verses. Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The Psalter is Psalm number 100. It is on page 824. Page 824. And we use the second response. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Shout to God, all the earth. Worship with gladness and joy. Come before God with laughter, our Maker to whom we belong. To the Shepherd who tends us like sheep, let us raise our voices in song. Come to God's gates with thanks. Come to God's courts with praise. Praise and bless God's name. Truly you are God. You are always gracious and faithful of age after age. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Give thanks and sing. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, from verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. We have this Bible passage when Jesus is facing a crowd. But before that, he, seeing the crowd, he feels, he senses the lostness of the people and see them as sheep without a shepherd. And when I was preparing for this sermon, a lot of things came to my mind, and one of them, the most important part for me, was a kind of a biographical issue, and I choose to leave that thing completely out of the sermon. And that is another thing which came to my mind, is the movie. Do you remember the Jesus Revolution? In Newcastle, James and John showed that movie twice, once in the sanctuary, once in the center, about the hippie movement. And the hippie movement and how some people from the hippie movement became Christians, and that was the story of a person who was part of everything, who lived through everything, and who became a church minister. And actually, thanks to God, he's still a church minister, who lived through these days. And it's very interesting. I don't want to sound neither too casual, nor I want to pretend this is a Bible study. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Hair. For the longest time, that was my favorite movie, because that movie was about this stage of the life of the world. And that felt glorious. That felt glorious. And the thing is, the movie was special in many ways. It's just one sentence of digression. The director of the movie created the reason why I'm selling this movie to you. So please watch this movie, Hair, by Miloš Forman. So this movie means the same thing in the same way to everybody. You can connect to that movie no matter what your background. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your qualifications are. It doesn't matter what kind of schools you went. That movie meant the same thing. Everybody understood this movie the same way. And of course, I saw this whole movement a kind of a glorious, wonderful thing. And we have this Jesus Revolution. And the Jesus Revolution movie said, well, not everything was that glorious. Not everything was that glorious. And the main character in that movie, who sees young people full of energy, full of hopes, full of dreams. You remember that? When you were full of energy, full of hopes, full of dreams, and the whole life was ahead of you. You have too much energy, you could barely hold yourself back, yeah? And the guy who was in the middle, he says, these people, full of hope, full of dreams, full of energy, they are the people who are looking for all the right things in all the wrong places. Sheep without a shepherd. And that is very, very strange. It is very, very tragic. Because what the people were thinking about themselves and what the leader saw in them was total opposite. There were young people full of energy and saying, wow, we do a revolution, we do peace, love, and LSD. I hope somebody will move it. So I'm not advertising LSD, but this is what they said. And there was an observer who was not simply a person outside. There was a person among them and says, they are looking for something. that they don't seem to find their way. And they are sheep without shepherd. So that was a strange situation, because the assessment of the people and the assessment of an objective observer pointed to two completely different pictures. Two completely different pictures. Two completely different assessments. And in many ways, it's a kind of a tragic thing. It is a tragic thing. Because when God is looking at us, and God is asking us, what kind of people are you? And we might have an answer. We might not have an answer. And the question is, how true is our own assessment about ourselves? When you look into your own heart, what do you see? When God looks into your heart, what do you think God sees? So, I remember I told you at least 40 times that when I have to bury someone I never met, and I go to see the family, the first line the family tells me about the deceased person is, he was a good man. He was a good man. But what's the message here? It's not about being good only. He was acceptable. When I looked at his life, I saw a good life. When God looked at his life, he saw a good life. He was worthy. It's very interesting, because we think that we have this kind of thinking today, but our parents and grandparents were thinking this way too, right? No, they did not. Very often, previous generation were struggling with guilt. I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And in many ways, that is the question. When people are looking for answers, why do we have attention problem with the church? Why don't we have enough people in the church? Attendance problem. Maybe attention too, but attendance problem. Why do we have attendance problem in the church? Because the spirit of the age changed. You no longer need God to be good. You can be good apart from God. You can make yourself acceptable to God apart from God. That's the message. So, for us it's a difficult thing to analyze, because we can ask ourselves, if we have this observation, and this observation is correct. Let's assume the observation is correct. Does it help us? But we still need to understand, to some degree, that the way we think today is not necessarily the way our parents and grandparents were thinking. Just because we think that we are okay and we don't need God. And even when I came to Canada 22 years ago, I heard preachers, I was listening to a lot of preachers in North America, and I heard preachers talking about a very important, a lot of them were talking about that, that they said that we experienced a shift in the 2000s. We experienced a shift. Before that shift, people wanted to be good. People wanted to be good. And the shift happened, and people wanted to feel good. And if you want to be good, the church is a help. If you want to feel good, the church is not a help. And why? I don't know if you will remember this, but you have heard about AA, right? The people who go there because they want to be good. And nobody goes to AA because they want to feel good there. And in many ways, the church is like AA. It's Sinners Anonymous. Not so anonymous, but sinners. And the more we can get rid of the sinners part, the less we are a church. Because we shifted from the desire to be good to the desire to feel good. And what is the thing which can make you feel bad? And what is the thing which always makes me feel bad? The truth. The truth. So the truth has become an obstacle for us to feel good. And in some way, this is the answer to this problem, the decline of the people in churches. Because if you have a desire to be good, church is a good place. If you want to feel good, church is probably the worst place. Because there is a shift. There was a shift. So, and Jesus looks at these people who had their hopes and dreams, and all they wanted to do is a revolution. They wanted to do a good thing. They were suffering. They had oppression. They had pain. They needed liberation. And they wanted to achieve that. And Jesus looked at those people with full of hopes and dreams and energy, and Jesus says, Sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And in many ways, it's a tragic thing. Because they felt good. Those people, full of energy, full of hopes and dreams, and a revolutionary idea, they felt good. They were looking for a leader. They wanted to start a revolution, and they were looking for a leader. And they said, Jesus will be our leader. Jesus will be our revolutionary leader. And Jesus says, yes, but not the kind you are expecting me to be. And this is a very important thing about the teaching of Jesus, and it's a very important thing about Christianity. Because every revolution wants to create a change out there. And when you ask the question, but what about in here? And you say, I don't care. I don't care. As long as I can do something out there, as long as I pour my energy into a revolution out there, I don't care what is in here. Because I don't have to concentrate on my own heart. I can concentrate on something else. But the radical thing, the truly radical thing, is Jesus created a revolution. The only revolution which is a revolution happening not out there, but in here, in your own heart. To remove the ruling class, the me, myself, and I, the tyranny of me, myself, and I from my own heart. And this is the only revolution with no money and violence. And I would love you to look for in history any kind of revolution with no money involved or no violence involved. Because every revolution starts with firing of a gun, a big gun or small gun, but some kind of a gun. I was a little boy. I learned the great October Revolution in Russia. How did the October Revolution started? The battleship Aurora fired the gun. People knew this is time for revolution, and they ran down the Winter Palace, and hey, that was the day when the USSR was born. Just kidding. But this is how it happened. The firing of a gun, a battle gun, or guns of a battleship. And every revolution starts with the firing of a gun. It's always violence. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter what happens outside. It doesn't necessarily change what's in you. And I had a counseling situation when there was a couple who wanted to fix their marriage. They wanted to fix their marriage, and they bought an expensive trip to an exotic island. And I talked to the husband, and I told him that there is one problem with your plan. He says, what? It doesn't matter where you go. You go home under your own roof, or you go to the Bahamas. There is one problem for you. You are bringing yourself there. And that's the problem. It doesn't matter where you go. You will be there. And that is your problem. So, an expensive vacation, you cannot take a vacation from yourself, from the self, which makes you a sheep without a shepherd. So, we have Jesus Christ, and we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the bread of heaven. I lived a perfect eternity in heaven. But I left heaven, I left perfect eternity just to come to your life, to come to earth, to become bread. A bread broken for you. And Jesus says, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be broken. So you can become whole. I lived a life you should have lived. And I died a death you should have died. I am a bread of heaven, broken for you. I said all these to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.